Sometimes, I might get slated here, but sometimes people want quick fixes. And if you think about it, it doesn't happen that way. You've got to put the work in. You've got to be prepared to look at all your lessons in life and go, okay, I messed up here. And that's okay that I did that. What am I going to learn from it?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and oh, it's my pleasure to be with you here tonight. And I have to tell you, you know, I've got my great tea mug, but tonight I'm being really good. It's just plain water. I know, I still love tea, but I've been on my kick about let's drink more water. Ever since we had Gina Brea and Dr. Dana Coat on in their book Quench, I've been trying to drink more water. This time I put cucumber in it, though, so that helps. I don't know about you guys and water, but cucumber helps. So that's what I've been up to lately. I hope you've been having a great time. And another great time that I've been having is, as you know, as the show grows, more and more people are just coming into our world here, guys. Our Courage Club community just continues to grow. And what I love is I get emails and phone calls from friends who say, thanks for having me on the show, and you need to talk to so-and-so. And that's what happened tonight. A mutual friend of ours introduced me to Indra Singh, and she is the amazing creator of Silent Moon Imaginarium. I just love that name. It takes me so many places, but we'll find out what it is in just a minute because it's pretty awesome. But I just love the name. It just takes me so many places. Indra is the creator of an international flower elixir brand, and that is the Silent Moon Imaginarium. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And she's on a mission to create and spread awareness of the power of the flower. And there again, I'm from that generation where that meaning had different meanings, flower power. So like I said, when I read her bio, I'm just like, okay, I got to meet this person. But it's all about vibrational medicine. And she's really empowered to bring it to us masses here and the whole community through all sorts of life transforming events, online special groups. And tonight we have the honor of having her here. And we're going to talk about, you know, past traumas, the inner shadow that we carry, or maybe I'll say shadows. We'll find out if we can have more than one, and how we can connect with our true, and she loves to say, wild, authentic self. So welcome to the show, Indra. It's so fun to have you here.
What a great introduction.
It's so great. And everyone, just so you know, like, we're on opposite sides of the earth here, and so it was a bit of a challenge to find that time zone that aligned the stars at just right to have her on. But I'm so thrilled that we finally had this opportunity to have you on. Now, let's first talk about inner shadows. Can you define inner shadows for us? Because I know we all carry them, but how do you define them?
Well, to me, very personal. Well, I work now with Silent Moon. We'll talk about that later and work with the flower essences. But as a child, I always was very aware of the light and the dark within us, you know, these emotions. And the shadow side is something that we all have. It's a part of us that's there, but we don't tend to acknowledge it because we're too scared, because society tells us that we shouldn't show our anger and we shouldn't show our jealousy and we shouldn't show this and that. So for me personally, with the work that I do, it's more about allowing people, giving people permission to be able to actually express that in a healthy way. And to me, it's really important that we allow ourselves to do that, because if we don't, then what happens to our bodies? It creates disease, and we hold disease within us. And I like dis-ease, actually, because I like to separate that word. Talking about words, I like to separate disease and think of dis-ease within ourselves, because that's what happens. And so if we can't express ourselves fully in our own way, then that's what happens within us. The shadow grows and it starts to consume us. So with Silent Moon, that's really what I do, is allow people, give people permission to surrender to their shadow with huge results, huge results. But you want the personal shadow, right? Well, see my personal shadow.
Well, let's talk about inner shadows. So you say surrender to the shadows, and that can be terrifying for some people, because as with my own work in shadows, I've found that if you let the shadow grow or stay too long, it can come out in less than successful ways, like rage even. So the idea of being able to release the shadows in appropriate ways when they're smaller is critically important. And too often as children, I think that part of us is shut down. Like,
absolutely,
don't say that, or don't do that, or no, or just because it might offend or scare other people. What are some ways that you help people release shadows when they're small?
Well, there's many. Well, Silent, let's talk a little bit about Silent Moon, because Silent Moon is something that was created, or is my imaginarium that was created about 4 years ago now, when I started to get into creating flower essences. I'd spent a while in Peru working with plant medicine, and realizing that in the end, it called me to actually work with the flowers. I had to come home and work with the flowers, and it just appeared. It just all planned its own way. It just kind of, I worked through it, and it happened. I was channeling flower energy, and people seem to say, you know, what do you mean you were channeling flower energy? You know, what was that about? And I sit with the flower and I channel the energy of the flower. So I know what happens to us when we take the flower essence. I know that when we actually ingest the flower essence within us, that it has profound changes within our system. And it's vibration, and it's a vibrational essence, because everything has a vibration. So I took this and I started to work with my flower essences on me and started to see the change in me. After about a year of working with my particular essences, I started to see the difference, because people were writing testimonials, and I really noticed that the essences were really working on the emotional side of people's lives, and really pulling out the deep, deep, deep energies, the deep, dark, the darker energies that were sat within. And I'm talking about in a controlled space. I'm not talking about, you know, they're raging and kicking off with their partner or anything like that. These people were coming to me and saying to me, could you create a support group? Because there's some really big stuff coming up for us. And I tend to attract the people who, you'll understand this, who want to do the work, who really want to go deep. And I would always say that my essences are quite profound. They're strong. They're all made by moonlight, hence the name Silent Moon, because I've always resonated with the moon energy. So the moon is very connected to the shadow side of life, and obviously the nighttime. And it began as an experiment for me to really see how it would work with people. And obviously more and more women are attracted to me than anything. It's women that I seem to help. I mean, I'm very open to helping men as well, but it seems to be that I attract so many women. So I use the essences. We run a regular support group every month so that we're all supported. And then everybody's got the space to be able to speak and to be able to say what's going on for them. And they're held by me and by all the other people that are in the group. So these support groups have become really powerful, really strong. And I've been running those for the last, well, started in December, and I'm running them now every single month. So people are wanting the help, wanting the support. That's really how I'm seeing it is now. It's growing organically, people coming and wanting to share the power of the flower, because there's many people out there that, oh, I want to try a flower essence. I don't believe it works. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't harm you to try it. You know, they're not massively expensive. You know, you can take one and you can just watch and observe what goes on within you. If you're a sensitive person, you'll notice that the flower essences have a profound effect on the emotions of the body.
I'm curious, Is it contraindicated for anything? Like some essential oils are topical, others are ingested. I'm really curious about that. And I also want to put the little caveat out there that remember, audience, to check with your own medical professionals before trying anything that you hear here on the show. And Indra, where do you suggest people find out more?
The best place I always think to find out more about flower essences is going back to Bach flower essences in the 1930s when Dr. Bach created. It's Bach, Bach, different pronunciations, but B-A-C-H. He was a homeopath and he began to realize, you know, that flowers held the power. You know, they had an energy to them. He worked with energetic medicine, homeopathics that are energetic as well. So he started to create flower essences by sunlight, and they have a specific way of making their essences, the Bach crew. But he was noticing that when he was giving these to patients with the homeopathics, that there was, again, profound change in their energy. So no, there's no contraindications to flower essences. But all the essences are just created by vibration. So all that's in the bottle is what you will see is vibration of, well, you won't see the vibration, but you'll, you know, it's a bottle, a 30 milliliter bottle of pure alcohol, water, and the vibration of the flower itself. And I can always make them without alcohol. We have people who are allergic to alcohol, so I'm happy to do that. They just don't last as long. And people just... I am out there to actually tell people that this does work. And there's many other people who want to share the word of the power of the flower too, because it's so powerful. And then we have so many skeptics out there who don't believe it. So it's a wonderful way to start is just by looking at my website or wherever you want to go to grab a flower essence. There's so many wonderful, wonderful flower essence practitioners out there. And just look on the website. What does it, you know, which one suits me? Which one do I feel that, you know, resonates with me? Use your intuition rather than reading them all, because if you start reading them all, you want every single one of them. I've noticed that. If I read like Bach flower essences, yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've got that. I've got that issue. At the end of it, I've got 15, 16 essences, you know? So I always say when you pick, if you're not having a one-to-one session, pick with your intuition. And usually it's the right one, and go with that and give it a go. And then if it's mine, then just get in touch with me and I can speak to you, you know, about it. But it doesn't harm. It won't harm anybody.
Now, when you started this journey, you actually came from a place where you had felt that you had some shadows and some trauma going on that you were searching for some answers. I know we had a chat beforehand, and I just wanted, sometimes it's so helpful for us to know that, you know, people do come out the other side. And here we've just shared about the Silent Moon Imaginarium, how you've gone through the journey of finding discovery and coming out the other side to this really great place. Will we share a little bit about the beginning of the journey?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that was that started in my early teens when I went through anorexia, which is an intense eating disorder, which is a control thing. You know, I always put anorexia down to the need to control something in life. And ever since then, I've worked with a lot of people with eating disorders and addicts, and I still do now. But that was one of my biggest journeys in my life, was to go through that process of being. And I know you work in pounds, don't you? So I was, at 18, I was 65 pounds.
Wow, that's the size of probably an 8-year-old child, maybe?
Yeah.
The weight of about?
Very small.
Very yeah. small.
And I did actually, I did collapse and my heart stopped. And that was the beginning of me coming back, because I realized that my mom, she'd left me at the hospital, and she wrote me a letter to say, you know, I'm not coming back to see you until you start to eat again. But as people know that do suffer from anorexia, it's not about food. You know, it's much deeper than that. It's about emotions and control and who am I. So I had a lot of help, therapy help, and I was always into yoga. And that was my big lifesaver, was the yoga. And I started to do a class in the UK in my town that I lived in when I was a kid. And I don't know if you remember the days of yoga when the teacher would wear a leotard. And it was like, you know, this lycra suit. And then there was a lot of older people in the room because younger people didn't do yoga. And there was me. And, you know, these older ladies and the odd man loved me. And I realized that this was something I could do. Well, we know yoga's not about could do, but it felt really good. Wow, they want me to demonstrate. They want me to show them. And I went, yeah, that's ego, okay. But I needed that at that time when I wasn't very well. So I kind of went and ran with that. And then I decided with my teacher, I was talking to her and she said, why don't you do your teacher training, you know? And I was just building myself up at the time. I was just starting to put weight back on. And I did. I went off and I did my teacher training in my 20s. And since then, I think I've done about 5 different teacher trainings. But I've always, always, as far as I can remember now, been into yoga and being a yoga instructor. So that was sort of the beginning of my journey, because I stepped outside of myself and realized that, you know, I went to Brazil, I went to India, I went to Peru, I went all over the place to look for this external guru, this one that was going to show me everything. You know, guru means light and dark, you know, so this person's going to show me everything. And it wasn't until I actually got home that I realized that, you know, guru's me. So that's a lesson for everybody, is that, you know, you're your own guru. And if you follow your intuition, you know, no matter what people think, you follow your truth, you follow your path, then you're on the right road, you know? So that's why I knew with Silent Moon, as everything just flowed and it just came to me, and there were the bottles and there were the labels, just like that. It was so easy. I knew this was the work that I needed to be doing. And I am so connected to nature that it was just, it just made sense that that was the work that I needed to do. So I combine it with my yoga practice and my yoga teaching. But Silent Moon is, and working with all these wonderful people and getting them to the space of their truth and who they really want to be is more important to me than anything.
Oh, I love that. And one thing I wanted to point out is that when Indra and I were introduced, that was one thing we connected on, because this idea of just flowing. When I started the Autoimmune Hour 4.5 years ago, just slightly after my first diagnosis, and there again, I wasn't feeling crummy. I was in this place of still wandering around and trying to find the people to teach me and all of this. And a massive awakening when you find out you're your own guru, when you find out to trust your intuition. And I love that you mentioned you bumped into your ego. I mean, I'm bumping into my ego all the time. I think that's a place that is... It's okay to bump into your ego as long as you acknowledge whether you're coming from where you're coming from on that. It's funny that you bring that up, because a lot of people either are so into their ego they don't realize they're in their ego, or they try to avoid their ego at all costs, which diminishes them. And we're talking here about being whole and complete within ourselves.
Yeah, I think the thing about the ego is it's if you've got it in a healthy place, and like you say, you can acknowledge it, then it helps you so much in life. I mean, I don't understand this way of destroying the ego. Maybe I need to know more about that, but I don't get it when people say that, because it's just how do you survive without it, you know? You know, even in yoga practices such as the Kundalini yoga that I trained in, that was my last training, Yogi Bhajan Kundalini yoga, he also, you know, says, you know, if you have your ego in check, that's healthy, you know, that's a healthy thing. We need that to actually be able to give ourselves an oomph in life, you know, to push ourselves forward.
I feel that we need all the tools in our toolbox, and extinguishing one of the tools, it doesn't make sense to me. There are times that ego actually is a survival tool. It's one of those things that I think is necessary, as long as you recognize when you're coming from ego and when you're not. That's the key thing. As long as you recognize you're using a hammer or you're using a screwdriver, that's all that matters.
I like that one. I remember that. I love it.
We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Indra about Silent Moon, Imaginarium, and other. I just love her viewpoints on life. So we're going to probably just trundle down some other areas about shadow and coming to terms with our shadow as we also explore flower essences. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Indra Singh, and she is the owner and amazing person of Silent Moon Imaginarium. I don't know why my tongue trips over those words, but it's a pretty cool brand. It makes a flower elixirs. And we've been talking about that, as well as our shadow side and bumping into our ego, and just this power of allowing ourselves to be who we are as we transform. And one of the things that Indra and I shared before the show was this idea of flow, allowing it to happen with a plan. Now, I know that sounds a little strange, but let's share some of our ideas that we kicked around about this idea of being in the flow, allowing it to open, but also being in that place of there's some direction. It's not about just throwing open and saying, oh, whatever happens, happens. It's a little bit of that. But there, for me, it's also about directing the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Especially if you've got a little bit of control inside of you. You need to have. Just a little.
I think Indra and I learned in one of our free conversations that we both have a lot of control in both of us. And that's part of it. That's the part of it that I say, you know, it's okay to have all of that, but it's about just being able to acknowledge that these are my tendencies and also being open to what other skills can I have? What other tendencies do I have? And that was when I first began to really listen to my intuition. I knew I had intuition, but for the longest time, I didn't trust it, or I thought that was somebody else's voice, or where'd that come from? How did you learn to trust your intuition?
I so get that. I get that. And I still do fall into that space sometimes when if you're not feeling so good, you know, or it's something that's a bit out of the ordinary, But more often than not now, 90% of my time, life lessons have helped me to actually learn how to really stand in my power. So now more than any time, I think, in my life, I am in that space. So I think it comes from a place of knowing who you are. That's what I think. I think once you know who you are, you don't have to question your intuition, you know? So I know with intuition, I know it works with, it's different for everybody's energy centers. They trigger with it. You know, if you know something's wrong, where does it trigger you? Is it in your gut? Is it in your heart? You know? And I'm always very aware that my gut speaks to me. I mean, they do say that the gut is the second brain or even the first brain. I can't remember what the book says. There's a book. I can't remember what the book's called even, but it's all about gut instinct. Gut instinct. Amazing book.
There's science now, which I just find fascinating, that they actually see the pathways of the gut signaling the brain signaling the gut. And it's this very open freeway. And I find that so fascinating that just only recently we discovered that. It seems to make intuitive sense. Why didn't we discover it sooner?
I've always been aware that a lot of my issues had come from the gut, the digestion. And I know having anorexia as well, that does mess up your gut. But I often found if I don't listen to my intuition and my gut, then IBS, you know, all sorts will start to kick off in my gut and everything will just churn up or become bloated. And, you know, so it's really simple, because obviously the mind and the body are so connected that, you know, we need to start to listen to where our intuition sits. And, you know, we go against our intuition so much. I mean, it's laughable, really. I speak to a lot of people who say, well, you know, oh, well, I listened and then four years later, I decided, you know.
Or the one I hear a lot is, I knew, but I listened to someone else. I was talked out of what I knew. I knew, but this was right for me, but I was talked out of it. Yeah. And that's where I like to say, sometimes with medical diagnoses, it can seem like a panic. Yeah. And I always say, if it's typically, this isn't true in all cases, I want to put that asterisk out there, but typically with an autoimmune, you have a little bit of time to make decisions. It's not an acute, oh my gosh, it's going to be over if I don't make this decision right now. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes things that you're offered as things to correct the autoimmune, some of them are actually very powerful. And, you know, you have to make, they change other parts of your body. I was one time offered a surgery and I just thought in the long run, that might fix what we're talking about right now. But in the long run, that would be totally detrimental to my life.
Yes.
And I always encourage people that, you know what, if it's not acute, like right now, take some time, think about it, let your intuition talk to you. Sometimes we discount that ability to just to like thank, say someone, especially someone in authority, thank you, I'm going to think about it.
Yeah. And that's why everybody should meditate every day, because that's when we have that space to be able to really listen to who we are. You know, get up in the morning and really hold that space for yourself. You know, I think my practice now in the morning has grown to like 2 hours. I used to like do 30 minutes and then an hour. And now it's like 2 hours before I even start to work.
All right. Now I hear a lot of people just, you know, sort of this energetic cacophony of, I wish I had 2 hours. Share with us. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, a number of the people I'm going, you know, people with autoimmune, they have families, they have kids, you know. Most of the people with autoimmune do tend to be women, unfortunately, who oftentimes are spinning multiple plates. Mm-hmm. Share with us a couple of ideas when you first started learning meditation. What are some things people can do? And if they don't have 2 hours, what are some ways that you've learned were helpful for you to get into that space of clarity?
Well, I have a practice now on a night and a day in the morning. So I am really solid in my gratitude practice. So on an evening, I will always write down what I'm grateful for. And, you know, I'll feel how it feels to be grateful for whatever it is that I'm grateful for. Even if it's something like, you know, I had a free cup of coffee, or I had, you know, a stranger smiled at me on the street. Because what it does is, if you have a gratitude practice, you start to really see what's going on around you, and you start to become aware of everything that's going on in the world. And you start to really acknowledge people walking past you and giving you a smile. You start to really acknowledge the fact that you went into Starbucks, or let's think of an independent outside Starbucks. You picked up, you know, a coffee, and they said, "Oh, by the way, that's free today." You know, often we'll do, "Oh, yeah, okay," but you know, these little things are the universe, you know, giving you signs, you know. And by being grateful, it's certainly helped my own practice. And then I do a meditation at night. I fall to sleep, usually with a gratitude meditation going on. And in the morning, I again start with a meditation. I do my journaling. So I will sit for maybe 20 minutes and just, you know, write streams of writing. And then I will come downstairs and I would do, I like my jump rope. So I do a lot of jump roping and fitness, and I do yoga as well. So that's part of my morning as well, if I'm not swimming. So I'm quite active. So you don't have to do all these things. This is something that I enjoy doing. My 15-year-old lives with me as well. So I have been a mother, and I've had all that busy, I am a mother, but I have had that busy life and family as well. So I get up really early. That was my answer. You know, I wake up at 5:30.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing as well. But one of the things I was also thinking about is when we chatted about optimizing and how these things build upon themselves, that you start one thing and then you work that into the pattern, into the schedule, and then you find that you're able to work something else into the schedule and continue to build upon itself. It's just like, I'm a big fan of saying, instead of people saying, when am I going to be cured of autoimmune? When am I going to be healed of autoimmune? Every day, continuing to optimize one thing. And whether it's just extra minutes onto the meditation, extra time at the gratitude journal, a better food choice, one thing. People go, you know, over a year, then they think, oh, I'll have 365 optimizations. And they fail to look at this wonderful mathematic called compounding. That means that day one, you're here, you know, you're at day one, and then day two, you're adding to the top of day one. You're not just continuing to add the same number to end up at 365. You've made this amazing compounding effort. And that's how you get to being able to do all of these things that Indra's talking about.
When you meditate, then you find the space between the thoughts. You might not in the beginning. I always say when you're starting meditation, you start with 5-10 minutes. You don't start with 3 hours, you know, because you're never going to continue doing that. So when I teach breathing and meditation to people who suffer from mental health or they've got addictions, I start them very, very quick, you know, very slow. And then they feel that they've achieved. And then they feel that they can do that every day. And then they know that they can add an extra 2 minutes in the next week. If you start them off with an hour and say, you've got to sit there for an hour and you've got to do this, forget it. I can't do this. I can't, you know, and we all do that, you know.
Oh, just mentioning it, my inner child started to revolt. just the thought of it, I heard my inner child going, "Say what? No." Let's talk about breathing, because I think that's really overlooked in the practice of health. When I mention that to a lot of people, they say, "What are your top five things?" I always have breathing in there, conscious understanding of breathing, because one of the things I found, Science of Sharon audience, Science of Sharon, one of the things I found in all of the episodes I've done and the numerous people I've talked to with autoimmune, a lot of them come from a place where somewhere along the lines they've had a major trauma in their life that they can instantly recall. And during that time, they hold their breath.
Yeah, that's right.
And how many times are we walking around just in our daily life, holding our breath?
Well, I do that. I do breathing workshops with mental health and with addiction. And, you know, they will all say, wow, that's just like the natural drug. You know, I can get what I need from just breathing. And I'm like, yes. And a really simple one for people to do if they're not used to breathing. And I say that lightly. Because
it's true, though.
We breathe so shallowly that we might as well not be breathing at all. Because it's so shallow that you're not filling your system with prana, with life force, and also you're not releasing anything. So this is the breath. It's a cycle, you know. And I say to people to do the 3-5 breath. Breathe in for 3, breathe out for 5. If you have anxiety, you have stress, if you have an issue walking down the street and you're claustrophobic, or is it agoraphobic? Is that the one?
Agoraphobic's afraid to leave, claustrophobic's enclosed spaces.
Well, any of those.
Yeah, any or all.
Use the 3-5 breath, you know? In for 3, out for 5, and it will instantly drop you into a space of just chilledness. You know, I mean, I work with the bandhas and all the locks that we do in yoga, like Mula Bandha, pulling up the pelvic floor, Uddiyana Bandha, tightening the center, all that stuff, you know, the quite advanced breathing. But that's just from doing yoga. If you get yourself into yoga practice, you will do all the breathing and your life will change massively, you know.
It is massively. And in my nonverbal communication work, as I always like to put in air quotes, my other life, people ask me, what's the number one thing I'm judged on? It's probably, you know, how I walk into the room or my eye contact or whatever. And I said, it's your breathing. People will notice someone who is in high breathing, which keeps us in a state of panic, fight or flight. And they'll notice that from just, that's their instinct to notice, oh my gosh, they're breathing high. They're in fight or flight. Am I in danger? Mm-hmm. And the quickest way to change my mindset, my feelings, my body, how I'm feeling, even it tends to reduce my pain level and change the other people around me, is just to start breathing slower. And by the way, the exhale, why the exhale is 5, is that's where the body relaxes, everyone. That's why you want to extend the exhale, because that's where the body relaxes. So try some oxygen, see how it helps getting it to your brain. To me, it's a cheap natural drug. Just breathing in is cheap and natural to create a new high.
Love it.
The other thing I want to talk about, this is just a side note for everyone. I know Indra knows this, but find out where your tongue is when you're breathing too. I know that sounds weird, but I talk to a lot of people and when they say, I took a deep breath in, but they had their tongue nailed to the roof of their mouth. And I'm like, no. This is about relaxing, so find out where your tongue is too. Yeah, I know it sounds odd, but oftentimes when we're in that fight or flight breathing, that high rapid breathing, the tongue is nailed to the roof of the mouth, which is just a response. It's a protection response. So, you know, kind of let it all go is what we're saying. Just kind of relax into this breathing and really enjoy it. And I'm going to let you guys breathe through this next couple minutes of break. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we get together, time flies. I don't know where it goes, but okay, everyone, take a nice deep breath and we'll be back in just a minute.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, We say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing. Gosh, sometimes I wish we could play the commercial breaks, but, you know, we can't because there's a commercial over it. But anyway, we were breathing, having a good time. Her name is Indra Singh. She's the creator of the international flower elixir brand Silent Moon Imaginarium, and she's on a mission just to spread awareness about the power of the flower. And I've had her on talking about her own personal experiences. And she's been so wonderfully free about sharing her own life experiences, because I think that is always so encouraging. When I first started my own healing experience, my own healing journey, that it was hard to kind of keep my spirits up. Like, is there light at the end of the tunnel? And I think Indra is absolutely this shining vision. I know she's all about Silent Moon, but I just see this bright shining light as well, inspiration that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I like to say there's even light as I'm journeying through the tunnel. I'm not seeing myself that I'm coming to an end of this tunnel anytime soon. Now that I think about that metaphor, I don't really want to be at the light at the end of the tunnel. Anyway. Isn't that what they say about near-death experiences or something? But anyway, I'm dying. I just have fun with her. Okay, let's get back on track here. Well, we were talking about breathing on that quick commercial break, and I feel so much clearer. We were laughing on that quick commercial break, which also, by the way, forces you to breathe. So if you're feeling like, I can't breathe, force yourself to laugh. You'll be surprised how easily you'll breathe. Yeah. It's amazing. So, Indra, where else should we go? We have about 16 minutes left. I want to make sure that you get some final wisdoms in and final thoughts before you share about how people can find more about Silent Moon Imaginarium. What are some things that you really are feeling called to share with our audience?
Well, the power of the flower. We've talked about, we haven't really talked about the energy of the moon, but the energy of the moon, you know, it does affect us. And, you know, there's a lot of, again, cynical people about that. But as women and men, because men are attracted as well to the moon energy, it's something that I don't think should be ignored, and we should, you know, honor that. So in the groups that I facilitate, we do work with the energy of the moon, because everything that I create is done by moonlight. So I love the way that you said to me, said just now about sharing, you know, my experiences in the flow. And you were just saying about, you know, you've come out of the trauma and you're the shining light. And it's somebody just called me today, elegantly assertive.
What a great word.
I sat with it and I thought, I'm going to use that. Elegantly and assertive. And I've never heard that one before.
What? That's a nice compliment. I love it.
Elegant and assertive. You know, this is what it does to you when you do the work. And I feel that, you know, sometimes I might get slated here, but sometimes people want quick fixes. And if you think about it, it doesn't happen that way. You've got to put the work in. You've got to be prepared to look at all your lessons in life and go, okay, I messed up here. And that's okay that I did that. But what am I going to learn from it? You know, what am I going to learn? And this is what I do with people, is to get them to see, okay, not blame. Not self-blame, but it's like, okay, I messed up. How am I going to change that? And then put that into practice, find a way, get a therapist, do whatever it takes to actually change your mindset, break your patterns. it's something that I've found really important in my life to get to this elegantly assertive being that I am.
I love that. I'm twinning you with that one. I love that elegantly assertive. It's such a nicer way than some of the things I've heard about myself, but that's okay. And you know, sometimes we hear these things about ourselves. I love elegantly assertive, and I've heard other words about myself too. And I just have to tell myself, and I like being that way, whatever that is, you know, whatever someone said about me is like, and well, thank you. And,
yeah.
And that's your point with the, do I change or don't I change? And oftentimes the answer is like, nope, I like that part of me.
Yeah. You have the choice. You always have the choice.
Yeah. Especially I love this idea of that just stumbling does not mean it's a failure. How often do we stumble? And in the process of coming through autoimmune, there's plenty of times I've stumbled. There's plenty of times that I've made decisions as simple as, oh, I'm just going to cheat today, and I wake up the next day in pain. It's, you know, a simple stumble or bigger stumbles too. But knowing that, I had this naturopath one time explain to me, because I went to her sort of, oh, poor me, I had a flare. That's what it's called. And I had a flare. And I went to the naturopath, and she was so wise, and she had this wonderful metaphor. She said, Sharon, when I met you, you were down in this valley. I mean, you were in the valley, practically digging a hole in the valley. She said, now we're up the mountain, and yes, you had a flare, so we've come down a couple steps of the mountain, but we're still on the mountain. We're not digging a hole in the valley anymore. And I love that metaphor, because it showed that all of the work, all of the optimizing, all of the different choices I were making had me still on this mountain, even though there was a little stumble. And I keep that metaphor in my mind all the time about when I wake up that one day because I've made a choice to cheat or do something that maybe I shouldn't have done, and I'm paying for it with inflammation or some other thing, that, you know what? I'm still at a better place than I was.
Brilliant. Yeah. And that's it. You know, you put the work in. So.
Yeah, keep doing the work. I think that's the big thing. Sometimes people come to me, when am I going to be cured? And I'm like, well, you know, you might transition through this, but there's always going to be something. Dude, sometimes people just want to get to a finish line. I know you and I talked about this, about wanting to get to a finish line, and that's not how it works. So what are some thoughts that you have to help people continue to move forward?
I'd just say, find the excitement in the journey. Enjoy the journey. Because if we don't enjoy the journey, you know, we're constantly looking for the destination. You know, the destination isn't going to, you know, it's not there. The destination, you're not going to reach it, because you're just going to want something else. I'm a big follower of Abraham Hicks as well. So, you know, I take that from Abraham, is the fact that, you know, there's not the destination. Once you get to where you think you want to be, it's going to change anyway, because you'll want something else after that. So your journey is always, always the part that you need to enjoy and embrace, and just open your heart to it. Not kind of, oh, another day. Okay, what does, you know, bring your practice in. I'm always happy to talk to people about starting practices, even if they're not 2 hours long. How do I start a practice for me? You know, how can I get there? You know, and like I said at the beginning, the first thing is being grateful for whatever is going on in your life.
You know what's so funny? You were talking about destination. It brought to mind a story that I was at a party, and this person had put in a lot of hours, a lot of effort to get something, and they had gotten it. And we were having a big party, probably 50 people, to celebrate that they had reached this destination of theirs. And they leaned over to me, and they've got all these friends and family, you know, bravo, pats on the back. I said, leaned over to me and said, I thought it would be different.
Wow, there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, that has just resonated with me about enjoy the journey instead of trudge through this journey and get to that destination and have that awakening of, I thought it would be different.
In the UK, we call it a carriage clock mentality. I don't know if you know what a carriage clock is.
No, what is a carriage clock?
Well, a carriage clock is something that we had like in the 70s and the 80s, and we used to put it on our mantelpiece in the house. And it used to be a focal point, and it used to have a little, it was a little gold thing. It was like a rectangle, and sometimes it had a spinning thing at the bottom, and it was just like a really chintzy clock. Really tacky. And we used to all have them in our houses. We say in the UK that, you know, when people retire, you know, it's just to get in the end, what do they get from it? A carriage clock, you know, because they've forced their journey. They've done the job. They've really hated 50, 60 years of being in this job. And in the end of the day, what do they get as a gift? The carriage clock, you know?
So, oh, we call those the gold watch.
Gold watch. So same thing. Same thing. It's, you know, the carriage clock mentality. It's like, you know, there you go. That's what you've got. The end of it. Really? Well, I want a hell of a lot more. I know that.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the place to be, is to start our life, and that we want a lot more, for sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, we're down just to the last year. I can't believe it. But share with us any of your final thoughts and where we can find your website and more about the workshops and the other transformational processes that you bring to us.
Well, my final thoughts are, you know, always try a flower essence if it's something that you're keen on doing, you know, if you're interested in doing it, and just give it a go and see how it changes your life, because they always do, you know, whether that be with Silent Moon or with somebody else. But you will become a lover of them, because I've managed to change everybody else's mind. Silent-moon.co.uk is me. So you will find everything there. I run support groups every month. Our next one starts on August the 1st, which is with the flower of lilac. Now, lilac is all about abandonment and self-sabotage. So it helps us to go through, if we've been through those pains in our life, you know, of feeling that we self-sabotage or feeling that we've been abandoned in some way, shape or form. I think that's many of us. Well, lilac is a great flower to support that and to help that energy. So if you want to join the group, all you have to do is get in touch with me at silent-moon.co.uk, and I can, you know, I can assist you with that. And my newsletter is also available there. So you go down to the bottom of the homepage and just sign up, and you can constantly be aware of my offerings that I offer. And if you want a freebie, then the imaginarium.love is where I give out my 6 magical moon rituals for free. So for anybody who wants to start to work with the moon energy, it's really simple. It's a really lovely, lighthearted, playful bit like this course that you'll get, and you can learn to use the moon phases and, you know, how those can help your life. And it's a really good way of starting meditation, because if you don't know how to meditate or if you've never done it before, it's a nice simple way of being able to begin. I also run the Wild One Weekend. We're into our 4th Wild One Weekend next year. So we're doing that in...
Fantastic. A quick question came up for me, that if you could just talk to us a little bit more about moon energy. I don't think I know a lot about moon energy. And as you were describing the free gift and things, I'm like, I really just don't understand the moon energy. So what's a quick primer on moon energy?
Well, I'm not an astrologer, so I go with how I work with the moon energy, because I know astrologers work with it very differently. But I like to work with the different phases of the wax and the wane of the moon. So I create a lot of my flower essences with the new moon and the full moon. And there's 8 different phases within the moon cycle. So I, in my Embodying Your Moon Spirit course, I work with meditations for those. So everybody can actually honor that, you know, we all have a wax in our lives, and whether we're men or women, I really don't believe that men are excluded from this. And we all have a wane. So we have a point in our life where, or a point in our week or even in our month, where we feel more energetic, where we feel that we, you know, we can run a marathon, or we feel that we can do more work. And then there's a point in our week or our month or a year where we just want to start to slow down. And when we start to understand the moon energy helps us to really be able to map where we sit in all that. So I know that with me, I'm usually better in dark moon time. So that's the new moon energy. But that shifts and changes. It's changed with my age. It's changed with what I put in my body, you know, how I exercise. So it's like really getting to know yourself and your cycle. And the moon helps with that. The moon helps you to honor that. So you can watch how your body shifts and changes. You can map it with a journal or map it in any way that you feel that you want to, whether that's playfully creating, you know, pictures, or doing it however you want to do it, depending on how creative you want to be. But it helps you to really look at your own personal map. So that's what I get, you know, women who are in my groups that I get to do is to really look at how do you relate to the moon energy? And, you know, it might just be the full moon and the new moon. It might be bud moon, growth moon, and all the other different aspects of the moon phases. But you can really start to look at how your energy reflects and how the moon is at this moment in time. And it will shift and it will change depending on what you put in your body and how you treat yourself. So it's a really good way of looking at your emotions.
That's fascinating. And it makes sense to me because I'm thinking of how, you know, the moon is known to affect the tides and everything. Absolutely. So why wouldn't it? Yeah. We're mostly water. Why wouldn't it affect us?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what you've said to me in the past, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? Exactly. So again, I'm not an astrologer, but I've worked with it myself for years. And this is what I show people. This is how it's worked for me. So I'll share this with you. No.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all of this playful, wonderful time with us here on the Autoimmune Hour. That's Indra Singh, and she is the creator of the international flower elixir brand called Silent Moon Imaginarium. We'll have her websites up on understandingautoimmune.com on her show page. And Understanding Autoimmune on Facebook is just what I call my thinking positive feel good page. So whatever interesting thoughts pop through my mind end up on that page. So be sure and join us there too. And everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.